Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It seems that sin goes virtually unpunished. Why? The answer lies in the distinction between God's character and His administration of creation. Today, why believing that God has changed is to believe a dangerous lie. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Erwin Lutzer is speaking about lie number 2, that God is more tolerant than He used to be.
You see, the God of Abraham, the God who came and said, Abraham, leave and go to the Ur from the Ur of the Chaldees into a land that I'm going to show you. That's the God who called me when I was on a farm in Canada. The Jesus who revealed Himself to the Apostle Paul as Paul was on his way to Damascus. That's the Jesus who saved me in that farm home. It's the same Jesus. Henry Light was going to leave his congregation because of ill health. He had to leave it. He had been there many, many years in, I believe it was Devonshire, England. And he wrote them a song, a poem that we have sometimes sung. And it's difficult for a pastor to leave his congregation. I don't look forward to that day when that's going to have to happen here, but the statistics are such that inevitably someday it will. But he wrote these words, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, O Thou who changest not, abide with me." God does not change. He's not changed a single opinion that He's ever had about any sin or any virtue. Well, you say, well then, Pastor Lutzer, but why this difference? Why do they stone them in the Old Testament and seem to be able to bless them in the New? I mean, what are we talking about here? Listen carefully. God has not changed, but His administration has changed. That's true. He's decided to run the world on different principles without, and I'm going to show you this, without compromising one bit of His attributes, without in any way lowering His standard for justice. It will be as meticulous as it ever was, despite the change in administration. In order to illustrate that and to teach it, I now need to ask you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, where we see three important contrasts between the old and the new. And then we're going to see how God's attributes transcend all of those changes and how God has not changed. And we'll discuss the question of whether or not it's safer to sin today under grace. First change is the change between the earthly and the heavenly. Look at the text. I'm picking it up at verse 18, Hebrews 12. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. And the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." What a contrast. What he's saying is today we don't go to Mount Sinai. Oh, I wish we had time to read the passage when God came and the mountain shook and there was the storm along with the lightning and there was thunder in the clouds and God was there and God says, "Stay away, stay away." In fact, if an animal was loose and happened to touch the mountain, they could not retrieve it. God says, stone it or shoot it with a dart, but don't you dare touch this mountain. God was coming in holiness, and God was saying, this is my holiness that is unveiled in the presence of sinners who do not yet have a mediator, who do not yet have an acceptable sacrifice, and who do not yet come through the blood that has been shed. And you had better stay away, because this is God. Terrifying. Moses said, I quake with fear. Well, it's not just that the physical distance between them and the mountain represented the moral distance between them and God, but it was also the distance that God was coming from above, and he was descending in power and glory. And God said, you had better stay back. What a contrast. Zion. When David conquered turned out to be the city of Jerusalem, he called it Zion. It's really a little hill that's south of the city today of Jerusalem, but it's a poetic name that really later on was attached to the entire city. We sometimes sing, we're marching to Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. It's the city from which salvation is going to come. Jesus was crucified outside of its walls. So what he's saying is that look at how different it is for us. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. My, we are already citizens of heaven even while we live on earth. It is the city of the living God. You have come to thousands and thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Did you know that angels were present at Sinai too? Who do you think blew the trumpets? It says in Galatians chapter 3, it says that the law was mediated by angels, but they were there too, and we could not, and those who were present could not possibly rejoice with them, because those angels were there in the presence of God, and all that the people could do is fall on their faces and say, God, we've had enough, because they were afraid to be incinerated by his awesome holiness and power. But today, we can rejoice. The angels rejoice because sinners are converted, and we rejoice along with them. We come to myriads and myriads of angels. We come to the church of the firstborn, that is, the redeemed company, both here on earth and in heaven. You know, it used to be years ago that when you drove through the countryside, you could actually see these little country churches, and on top of the country church, there was a hill. I should say that the church was on top of a hill. Let's get this straight. But around that church, there was a cemetery. Now, we don't do that today, but that was a powerful theological lesson. It was talking about the church militant, the church alive, and the church triumphant. And you walked right past the cemetery because God was saying, I want you to walk past the alumni association before you get to the undergraduates. And he says, we come now to the church of the firstborn, to God the judge of all. If you were with us last time, you know that we spoke about approaching God and how to do it. And now we can come into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the very place from which they were forbidden, that very citadel where the awesome holiness of God resides. We come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, possibly the Old Testament saints, and then to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood is so much better than that of Abel. Abel's sacrifice was provisionally accepted, but he died, you remember, at the hands of Cain, his brother. But Abel's blood was of no value to atone for Abel's sins, much less could it atone for the sins of anyone else. But we come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that has a much better message connected with it than the blood of Abel or the blood of any human being could have. You see the contrast? Sinai. Stay away. God's presence is not mediated. Therefore, you cannot endure it. Zion, Jesus has come. Come, come to the city of the living God. Come into the very holy place. Jesus is here. That's the first contrast. You say, well, is God more tolerant? You're asking the question too soon. You have to stay with me. Secondly, there's another way to describe this contrast, and that is between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. It says there in verse 24 that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Now, in the Old Covenant, you have to understand, God made a covenant with a whole nation. In fact, even there at Sinai, they all said, whatever the Lord has said, we will do. Mind you, they went back on their word within a matter of days, but they meant well at the moment. Now, God says, I'm going to make a covenant with a whole nation, and the whole nation has to obey me. And the Lord says, there's not going to be any freedom of religion. I want you all to worship the same God, and if you follow false gods, you should be stoned, and I'm going to rule through the prophets and through the kings directly, and I'm going to look at Israel as a nation, and if you sin, you are going to receive some very severe, immediate penalties. The New Covenant is entirely different. In the New Covenant, we discover that God is no longer going to deal with a nation. He's going to deal with individuals, and he's going to pluck them up from the different countries of the world and save them and form what we call the church today with both Jew and Gentile. God is going to bring them together to form this new spiritual nation. And furthermore, they are now going to be, the church is going to be an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism. And therefore, we're to obey those who have the rule over us, even if they are pagan, even if they don't accept our viewpoint. Unless it conflicts with a matter of conscience, we are to be good and obedient citizens. Now, look at this. This is an amazing passage in 1 Corinthians. Either you need to turn to it or listen carefully. Paul is talking about our relationship with the world in this new era. And this is what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I have written to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. And then he clarifies. He said, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave this world. What if you worked in the loop and said that I'm not going to eat with anyone who's sexually impure, anyone who's greedy, anyone who's a swindler, anyone who is immoral, anyone who's these things? You'd probably be eating your lunch alone. So Paul says, that's not what I mean. Of course you have to eat with these people. But he says, I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother and he's sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or drunkard. With such men, don't even eat with him. Because, see, he claims to be a believer. He claims to be a member of the church. And so you don't associate with somebody who's living like that. What business of mine, verse 12, is it to judge those who are outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. God's going to take care of those people. What he's saying is, expel this wicked man from your midst. They had somebody in their congregation who was having an immoral relationship with his mother-in-law. So what Paul is saying is, you know, our first responsibility isn't to clean up the world morally, because that's impossible. I mean, we have many campaigns here in America that try to do that, and they're moderately successful, but that's not our primary responsibility. It is to have a pure church, not a pure world. That's impossible. But as we purify the church begins to share the good news of the gospel and has power in the world.
Erwin Lutzer with God is More Tolerant Than He Used to Be. The second in a series on 10 Lies About God. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.